Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It is a beautiful spring morning in the New Orleans area in southeastern Louisiana. It'll be a beautiful weekend for all the festivals that are planned. You got the Jean Lafitte Seafood Festival, French Quarter Festival, Ponchatoula Strawberry Fest all going on. Highs today, 75. Doesn't get any better than that. 78 tomorrow, 80 on Sunday, warming up, but dry all the way through as it stands now next week. So we'll see what happens. Mark Rosa joins us now. I know he'd like it a little bit cooler than 75, but all in all, not too bad, especially compared to Wednesday. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Tommy, good morning. Happy Friday to you.
Same to you, sir. Let's talk about the consumer price index, inflation, and the effect on all of our pocketbooks.
You know, Tom, we go through these cycles where the CPI and the PPI, of course, reported every month, as is the personal consumption expenditure, the Fed's own inflation monitoring gauge. And so it feels like no sooner you finish one and then you're into the next month, and that's, you know, the way it goes. Well, we did have inflation data that came out earlier this week, and it seemed like the CPI came in a little bit hotter, a little bit more than the markets would have wanted. And then the PPI, we could go into this in more detail Monday, of course, but the PPI got a little bit of a break. It was expected to come in at 0.3% for the month, and it came in at 0.2. Not one point or one data point does a trend make. So, you know, everybody will be watching it fairly carefully. But never have we had – I really enjoyed your other guest that was about an hour ago, and he's very knowledgeable, debt and deficits. I mean, I could listen to him for hours.
Matter of fact, let me just tell people, Mark, if they were not listening, we talked to Mark Goldwine, Senior Vice President and Policy Director for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, about what we're headed for with a debt spiral. And you can always go back and download the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, or go to WWL.com. Click on my name, Tommy Tucker, and then you'll find the interview with him, and you can access what Mark was talking about. Just want to let him know. Go ahead, Mark Rosa.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you let me know so I could go back and listen to him if I need to replay it. But, we got a microcosm of how the financial markets are feeling about debt and deficits just this week. And it's kind of subtle. It goes, unless you're looking forward, it kind of goes unnoticed. And I think we've come anesthetized to what these deficits are. And most of the people, I mean, I'm out at, when I'm teaching classes, it's like, guys, what does it mean to you that the budget debt or the national debt is at $35 trillion? You don't even get an answer from that. Mm-hmm. So somebody doesn't even know how to respond to that. And I guess they look around and it's like, well, my car started this morning. I made coffee. I put my clothes on. I went to work. Work was the same as it was a couple of days ago. So I don't understand. I don't feel these effects. And especially if you went back to what I call when the economy was doing so wonderfully from 2016 to 2019, pre-COVID, very low inflation, fabulous GDP, economy was growing. Everybody had as many jobs as you wanted. I mean, people were making decent money. You didn't have inflation. And it's like, so what's all the hubbub about this $30 trillion? I don't even know what that means. So the economy is doing wonderfully well. But you got a little microcosm this past week when CPI came in a little bit hotter, and we've been playing this game since we started a couple of years ago with the Fed's remedy. We raise interest rates. They're making a mess out of things. They're trying to contain the inflation rate. Inflation is still going up. It wasn't at the rate that it was a couple of years ago when we felt maybe it was just last year. It was 9%. It feels like longer than that. And that rate of growth has come down significantly. So I think that the medicine that we've had to take through high interest rates and slowing the economy down a little bit has helped. But still, we're not, you know, I kind of disagree with, maybe we're talking about two different things. Your previous guest was saying, well, the price is never going to come down. I would disagree. I'd say, well, you know, we've seen negative rates of growth, meaning that's a fancy word that's a lot of mouthwash for saying that prices fell in the wholesale markets over the past 6 months in the U.S. And I was saying, well, there's deflation. There is such a thing, inflation when prices are rising, deflation when they're decreasing, and prices can decrease. But unfortunately, I think we might need a recession. So think about, you know, with the brand new cars on a car lot, pick any dealer that you want, all of a sudden people are not buying cars. We're not buying them at the rate that they have inventory. They have no other choice but to lower the price of those vehicles. So then you'd see that going through the inflation data. That could go for eggs and anything else. If the staple items tend to hold their price, because you and I are going to buy the same amount of Cheerios that we normally did, whether it's a recession or expansion, because that kind of gets moved over. But that's when you and I are talking about in previous months about the durable goods orders. That's when a lot of economists sit towards the front of their seat to say, well, okay, that's fine. You and I are buying Cheerios and bananas and you know, the usual stuff that's not going to hurt our budget too very much with prices moving. But okay, what about cars and refrigerators and things that are high priced and designed to last for years? Is there any slowdown there? But I got myself off track. Going back to the CPI, it came in a little bit hotter, meaning that inflation continues to climb, or price continue to climb. But the market sold off immediately 400 points. So I'm going back to what he was saying, okay, then the markets are going to start backing up on this. At some point, if inflation gets too crazy or if the budget deficits get too crazy, you'd see the financial markets really pushing back from the table. This morning's news on MarketWatch, U.S. budget deficit has topped $1 trillion halfway through the current fiscal year. So, okay, if that repeats itself, we're halfway through. The federal government budget begins on October 1st. We're halfway through now. If that doubles, we'll have a $2 trillion deficit just this year. And you know, the interest, when the Fed has raised interest rates for most of us, it raised interest rates that the federal government has to pay as well. That's why you're quoting that the interest on the federal debt is bigger than the Defense Department budget.
And Medicare.
That's right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah.
Add something to it. You know, back, hindsight is perfect. And back when 30-year bonds, not 100 years ago, not even 100 weeks ago, but, you know, a lot of people said, you know what? Well, we had the chance. 30-year money on the federal level was about 2%. They should have issued a couple of trillion dollars of 30-year bonds at 2% to lock in that low financing going forward for decades. For that matter, even companies have done it. Countries have certainly done it. Ford issued in the late 90s a 100-year bond. You're going to loan Ford Motor Company money for 100 years. Well, you and I probably wouldn't do it, but you got mutual funds. You got, okay, talking about people in their 401ks, you could have those bonds in your 401k, depending on what kind of investments are in your 401k. But it's like, you know, some of these countries or companies can lock in an opportunity, borrow money out for a long period of time. They test the appetite for that. And if enough people are going to sit at the table and loan them the money for 100 years, out it goes. So the U.S. government could have certainly done that, because when they do their treasury auctions, you've got participants from all around the world sitting at the table bidding on treasury debt, because like your previous guest says, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like U.S. government treasury debt, because we are the largest economy on planet Earth. So when, you know, the European Central Bank might have to borrow the Bank of Japan and plus all the money center banks that are within the country, Tommy, they have no trouble raising debt. So they've gotten used to that. And everybody's, I don't want to say complicit, I think that's too strong, but everybody that's sitting at the table is participating in it. And so the debt goes up. And for our listeners, if we, you know, if we're concerned about, because it kind of gets complicated, but we'll put it very simply, it used to be that every Monday they would hold an auction and refinance the previous debt that was issued. So you and I could loan the federal government $1,000. In 6 months from now, we get our money back with our interest. Okay, here comes 6 months. They owe you and I $1,000. So they bring everybody to the table and they say, okay, we need to auction off for new money. We need to raise $3,000. And somebody would say, wait a minute, $2,000 is coming due. You're right. $2,000 is coming due. We're going to refinance. We're going to pay these two guys off. But we're going to borrow an extra $1,000 on top of that. So the process, the auction process, is called the subscription, meaning that if they need $3,000, you've got $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 of bidding. So it's called oversubscribed. It's in the Treasury says, man, we could have raised $7,000 this morning because we had interest sitting at the table, meaning people having interest in the debt. And tell me, that's how it's ballooned, and that's how it keeps going. So the only thing to stop, to me, the only thing to stop that, and people's education about it is fairly shallow. If they would ever go to an auction and say, guys, we need $3,000 this morning to refinance some old and to borrow some new, and the people and the participants would back off. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, we can't raise enough money this morning? A check can't go out? So who are we not going to pay? We're not going to pay Rosa. We're not going to pay Tucker. And then we certainly can't raise more money because we don't have the appetite for it. But by the time it would get to that, where a Treasury auction would fail, you're way into the swamp. I mean, then it's like a check can't go out.
Valuable information, Mark. We'll pick it up Monday when we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Time now, 7:55 and a half. Traffic, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.